We are on Gimel Amud Beis. I'm hoping to get to Dalet Amud Aleph today. We shall see. We have brought the Braisa here, in the it's sort of the middle upper part of the middle of the page. Well, you know, I might as well. All right, let's go back to where it's first introduced at the Meisve, but we're going to jump. It is 10 lines down. Echad Beis Hashanol B'Shabbos. Right? Anyone see that? The Meisve Echad Beis Hashanol B'Shabbos. It is 3-8. Yeah, 10 lines down. It had been brought for a completely different purpose, but we're now going on a tangent with it. But it had, in that Braisa, we said, towards the end of the Braisa, Usfeka Asura. We had been talking all along about an egg laid on Yom Tov, and we said that if you're not sure about that egg, and what not sure means we have to clarify, the egg is Asur. And in this Arva Be'elef, Kulan Asuros, if it's mixed in with 1,000 eggs, they're all Asur, meaning it's never Batal. So the Gemara was trying to figure out what this, you know, what this egg is that we're talking about here, and particularly in relation to our discussion about the Machlokes, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Right? Our question was, why do we say Safek is Asur? That must mean it's a De'oraisa. That must mean it's a biblical issue. If it's a biblical issue, that sides with Rabbah, who said that the principle behind prohibiting the egg is a De'oraisa principle. It's Hachana, and from the Pasuk that he brought. So that's fine if your name is Rabbah, but if your name is not Rabbah, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yitzchak, what are you going to do with that Braisa? So their answer was that it's a Safek Trefa. It's not talking about an egg that is a that is laid on Yom Tov. It's an egg that may have been born to a trefa. So then we said, well, if so, why isn't the egg batal? Right? It's true. The egg is suffic, you know, it's a suffic trefa. I understand why you want to be strict. But if so, why isn't it going to be batal? So let's pick up from that, and it's about 5 lines from where we ended last time at the Ihachi, about 15 lines down, 20 lines down. See that Ihachi is at the end of the line? Okay. Ihachi, if so, okay, if your answer is that it's a Safek Trefa, Ema Seifa, look at the next line in the Braisa, which said, Nisarva Be'elef Kulan Asuros. If it's mixed in with 1,000, they are all Asur. Iyamrit Bishlama Safek Yom Tov Safek Chol. If you're telling me it's an egg that may have been laid on Yom Tov, if that's what we're talking about, Havi Dabashiyesh Lamatirin. Bechol Dabashiyesh Lamatirin, Afilu Be'elef Lobatel. Then I'll say, it's a Dabashiyesh Lamatirin. It's an egg that's going to become Mutter if you just wait until tomorrow. And that's why it's not Batel. Ela Iyamrit Safek Trefa, but if what you're talking about is an egg that you think might be from a trefa, then davar she'ema matirini. No matter how long you wait, that egg ain't going to become mutter. Right? We talked about last week, well, what if you wait 12 months and the mother is still alive? Does that make it? And the answer was no, for reasons that we already discussed. To take one of them, that's fairly straightforward. If it turns out that if you wait 12 months and the mother survives, right, then that means it was never usher to begin with. It's not something that is Asr and then is going to become a Mutter, like the egg laid on Yom Tov, which is Asr and is then going to become Mutter. So it's not a true Davar Shiyesh L'Matirin. And therefore it should be Batal in the mix. V'ti Batal Baruba. So I don't understand why you would say this. That's what we had left off with last time. V'chi Tema Beitza Chashuva V'lo Betela. So maybe what you'll tell me is that this egg is significant and therefore it is not Batal. So here I need to introduce two terms, which I put on the top of your sheet for an easy reference, because the Gemara is going to throw them around. The one term is Kol Shadarko Limanos, and the other term is Es Shadarko Limanos. Darko Limanos means that it is counted. Okay? There are two different ways in which we sell goods. If you think of, bless you, if you think of, let's say, grain or grapes or something like that, we sell them by the pound or by the kilo or whatever it is. But you sell them by weight. Selling something by weight says the individual entity is not that significant. It's only in the aggregate that it matters. That's the message that the Gemara sees when you sell something by weight. As opposed to something that you sell individually. Let's say a bag of potato chips. So the bag, not the chips, but the bag itself is of significance because each one stands alone. A person could theoretically go into the store and say, I want one bag of potato chips. They matter. Each one matters to him individually. In the event that somebody says, I want a pound of barley, right? And it's short. So it's not the individual kernel that they care about. If it's short a certain amount, then you give an additional weight of barley, but it's not the individual kernel that matters. The if a person bought even, let's say, bananas, okay, so something larger than barley kernels, and they thought they were getting a kilo of bananas, and in fact they weren't. They showed up short. It's not the individual unit of banana they care about, it's the weight in bananas that you have to make up to them. As opposed to, if I go into a store and I say, I would like to have 3 bags of potato chips, and they sell me 2 instead, right, they charge me for 3, but they give me 2, then I say, I want a bag of potato chips. So therefore, that's viewed as a significant entity, something that isn't nullified in a mixture.
What about something like the 10 pieces of meat, where meat is both weight and unique?
Hang in there with that question.
Okay.
Yeah, laser.
Yeah, I just thought there was some trouble with the bag, because the bag's got weight too, usually.
Right, and the contents of the bag are things that are nullifiable. But the bag itself, in other words, a bag, if you were to pour out individual chips, I would say those are nullifiable. But if you give me a bag, then I would say that's not nullifiable. It's tricky, and that's actually going to relate to the case that we're going to see in the Gemara, where you're going to see something where something could be both, depending on how you're looking at it. But Howie's question is exactly where this Gemara is going. So take a look at these two terms. Kol shadarko limanos means anything that is ever sold by number, even if it's not always sold by number. Sometimes it's sold by number, and sometimes it's sold by weight. By the way, weight is not exclusive; it could be volume too. But if something is ever sold by number, even if it's not always sold by number, that's kol shadarko limanos. Es shadarko limanos means something that is only sold by number. You never sell it in any other way. See the difference? Okay, so watch what the Gemara does, because we have to apply this to eggs. Because the rule with eggs is that eggs are sometimes sold by number and sometimes sold by weight. Maybe not in our culture, but we're talking about as far as the Gemara is concerned. This is going to be subjective. Your rules of nullification will change over time depending on your society. So the Gemara says, you're telling me maybe the reason why this egg that is a suffek trefa, right, if you're taking the view that it's a suffek trefa, the reason why it's not nullified is because it is chashuva, it is significant, and therefore it's not batal. Hanicha leman de'amar kol shadarko limanos shaninu. That's fine if you say that when we learned that something important is not nullified, you applied it to kol shadarko limanos, anything that's ever sold by number, even if it's not exclusively sold by number. Right? If you say that, then I'm willing to grant you eggs. We'll fit into that rule. But according to the view that says that the only rule of Davar Chashuv is if it's exclusively sold by number, then it's not nullified, then what are you going to say? Because it won't apply to eggs. Where does this debate show up about exclusively sold by number or sometimes sold by number? The following source, Disnan, it's a Mishnah in Orla. If you have bundles of tilson, if memory serves, is fenugreek or fenugreek, depending on what you're reading. It's green.
It's Greek to me.
If a person has bundles of fenugreek, that's the fenugreek isn't what matters. What matters is that it's kilei hakerem. Right, mixed species grown in a vineyard, you're not allowed to benefit from it. The Mishnah at the end of Temura tells you how you dispose of it, burning it, burying it, and so on. That's a discussion of the Mishnah at the end of Temura. But the point here is, yidalku, it has to be burnt. Nisarvu ba'acheros. But if the fenugreek gets mixed in with other fenugreek, and you know the way it is with fenugreek, you can't tell one fenugreek from the other. So in such a case... If it's mixed in with other fenugreek, va'acheros, va'acheros, and then from that mixture, some get mixed into something else. So now you've gone, into from you know from this one you had some go into that, and from that you had some go into another one. There's a nice discussion in Tosfos about this and Svexfeka and so on that I didn't see fit to bring here because I didn't want to confuse things further. But the but Kula Nidolku Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says anything that its stuff got mixed into is going to have to be burned. So even though, let's say this was my batch of Kilei HaKerem, and one element of it fell into this, and then from this, one element fell into that, it's all going to have to be burnt. That's the principle. Now, Kilei HaKerem is normally nullifiable. The ratio is 1 in 200 for nullifying Erla and Kilei HaKerem. So why are we not nullifying it here? So that Rabbi Meir says, not nullifiable. The Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim disagree, and they say, Ya'alu be'achasu masayim. If it's 1 in 201, then it is going to be nullified. What's the machlokas? Shahaya Rabbi Meir Omer, es shadarko limanos mekadesh. Rabbi Meir's view is anything that is exclusively sold by number is going to sanctify the mixture. The v'chachamim omrim eino mekadesh elashisha dvarim bilvad. And the chachamim said, nonsense, there's no such rule. There are only six items which, because they are important, cannot be nullified. So this isn't fit into kol shadar kalimanos or es shadar kalimanos. It's sort of a different standard. There are only six items that are so important that they can't be nullified. Which are, what are they? The, we'll have to see. Rabbi Akiva omer shiva. Rabbi Akiva says there are seven. Ve'eluhein, and here's the list. Egoze prach. Nuts from a place called Prach or Parach, the, some location where apparently they were large and better than from other places. Rimone Badan and pomegranates from a place called Badan. Vachavios Stumos and barrels that are sealed. So here you have a case of something which the individual contents could be an item that's sold as a volume thing, but the barrels are considered important because it's a barrel of something. The Kilfei Tirdin, as well as bunches of beets. The Kilchei Kruv, and bunches of cabbage, or stems of cabbage. Udlaz Yevanis, and Greek gourds. That's the list of six. Rabbi Akiva Mosif Afki Karosha Balabayas. And Rabbi Akiva adds also loaves from a Balabayas, from someone who makes them at home. In all those cases, they're not nullified. Haroi la arla arla, if it's something that can be arla, because some of these items on this list cannot be arla, right? The loaves of bread that you make aren't going to be arla. So that which is suitable to be arla is subject to the laws of arla and is not nullifiable. Haroi la kilei hakerem, kilei hakerem, something that would grow potentially as mixed species in a vineyard. That would be subject to the laws of Kilei HaKerem. The Itmar Allah, and we learned on that source, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says, Es Shedargo Limanos Shaninu. He says, when we said that if it is counted, according to the first view that we presented, if we, Rabbi Meir said, Es Shedargo Limanos, that was what we had. So Rabbi Yochanan says, he meant es shadar kulimanos if it's exclusively sold by number. The Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar, whereas Reish Lakish on the third wide line says kol shadar kulimanos shaninu if it's ever sold by number. That's the way that he looks at it.
What is this? Go ahead. No, I don't understand. So is he saying these six things are what this concept is, a Shadar code of
the Right, so he's actually going back to Rabbi Meir.
Right.
In other words, the Chachamim aren't following any rules about what is counted and what is weighed and what is sold by buying. The Chachamim don't care. The Chachamim say there are six items, Rabbi Akiva adds a seventh,
right,
to which this rule of this is chashuv, therefore it's not nullified, applies.
So
no other item.
Nothing to do with these.
Correct.
Right.
Rabbi Meir is the question. Because Rabbi Meir said, in the edition that we had here, anything, what was his wording? Es shadar kulimanos. Anything that is only, that is exclusively sold by number. And now Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are having a debate about what Rabbi Meir actually said.
So is this halakha imoshim sinai? Is this what you're trying to say? Is this logic? Is this a gezeira?
Right. So
what is the principle here?
Right. So the operating principle is logic. That the idea of bitul, the whole concept that something can be nullified in a mixture is predicated upon the idea that at a certain stage, it just becomes part of the mix. It doesn't stand out. It doesn't have its own identity. That's the core idea behind Vittel. All the rules that we have about what the ratio has to be and so on, we learn from various sources, but the core idea of Vittel is this thing is now blending in. It's part of the mix. If it's a davar chashuv, if it's something significant, then it's not said to be part of a mixture. Even if it looks like everything else, each element in the mixture matters. Let's say that I
was based on the of last week's parsha, Acher Lahavim Lahatos, isn't there don't we get the concept from there? I don't know if it's a smach the balma, but I thought it was.
That's in terms of the fact that we do follow the majority. But
the logical principle,
right? But
where
the logical principle,
it's not just a complete. It's not right. Logic invented without a pasuk.
No, it's all pasuk. Yeah. But the let's pretend that we were to say
the logic behind the pasuk is what you're explaining.
The tangerines are not nullifiable. Tangerines are chashuv. The idea isn't that if I take a tangerine and put it in there, you're going to be able to tell it apart from all the other tangerines. You can't. But it's not called a mixture. It's not called a mixture. It's a whole bunch of tangerines sitting in a bowl. But it's not called a mixture because each one is significant. That's the idea. It's not called lost in a mixture, even though you can't tell me which one it is. Being with other things that look just like you doesn't mean you're mixed in with them. That's another way to look at it.
Right. But, okay, so the meat issue is going to come up later on then?
Yeah, there's by the way, you find tangerines...
For a second, the what issue?
The meat issue is going to come up later on in Tempe's...
Or something.
No, the meat won't need to come up.
The ten pieces look the same to us, yet we've learned that if you have one in there that is trade, it's not that stuff. So why would it not...
Look the same as what to us?
Each 10 pieces.
Right, because there we assume. I mean, first of all, we're to a certain extent we're mixing apples and oranges. In the sense that the principle that we will assume that any given piece of meat that we have is from the majority is not a function of bittul, and that's why I'm squeamish a little bit about mixing in acharav and lahatos here. That's not a function of bittul. That's a function of, and by the way, I sent you that paper. If anyone wants the 50-50 paper, they call Kavua Kamechsa for it last week.
I've been through that whole Indian for bone marrow transplant. Because you don't know if it's Jew or not. And so you have to, in order to get around all the problems, you have to assume it's Mechsa Mechsa and it's Persian Mekaveya.
I'm going to leave that as its own discussion. The idea is there. Is not that each individual piece of meat is lost in the mixture of meat, and therefore we're going to just say it's like the majority of the pieces of meat. Rather, it's that when I want to determine the identity of a particular one, I have rules about either assuming it's 50-50 or saying this is from the majority. There are rules that govern how I make my assumption about the identity of an individual, and that's not because of bittul. It's a separate point. The practical difference between the two, between saying bittul and saying it's because it's from the majority, is that strictly speaking, and we talked about this a little bit last week, but I think strictly speaking, in the event that I have a true bittul case, I don't think I need to hold anything over. In other words, If I have a drop of milk that falls into my meat stew, and we say that it's bittul in the stew because it was less than 1 in 60, I don't have to say, well, I'm going to eat everything until there's a drop left at the end, and I'm going to call that the milk. It's bittul. It's gone. Whereas, in the event that I have oranges, and I say these are not a mixture because each one is chashuv, it's true that if they scatter, then I can assume that each individual one came from the majority. But you're not going to let me eat the entire mixture and say, well, the tray of orange is bittul in the mix. So bittul and rove are really, I think, two separate concepts which can mix confusedly. But that's going back to the point where that they're making here. Their question then is, how do I view this egg? You wanted to tell me that the egg is not bittul, right? You didn't want to say that that's because it's an egg laid on Yom Tov. Because if you did, then you're cornered, and now you have to agree with Rava that the egg laid on Yom Tov is Aser Mita Oraisa, and that's why Spego Aser. You didn't want to do that. You wanted to say that it's instead Safek Trefa. Well, then why isn't the egg nullified in the mix? Maybe it's because the egg is important. that only works if I take the view that in order to qualify as important, you have to be sold by number sometimes. If your standard is it has to be sold by number always, eggs don't qualify. Why? Because that's not the way they did. They sold eggs sometimes by number and sometimes not by number. That's the idea. So the Gemara says in the fourth wide line, Hanichal Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. So Reish Lakish will be very happy because Reish Lakish said, Kol Shadarko Limanos Shaninu. Right? That as long as it is ever sold by number, it's important and therefore cannot be nullified in the mix. El Rabbi Yochanan Ma'ikal Amemer. But what is Rabbi Yochanan going to do? Rabbi Yochanan says, the egg is not chashuv. So, Amar Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says, I'll give you the answer. The answer is, Hai Tana, Tana Delitra Kitsiyavshu. The Tana here, who seems to indicate that the egg is not batel, is the same as the Tana regarding a liter of figs. And here's where things get confusing. Until now they were not. But here they do. Kitsios, if you take a look at Rashi, Litra Kitsios, four lines up from the bottom. Okay, the beginning of the line there. Litra Kitsios. Te'enim shnizyavshu basada. Figs that were dried in the field. Uktsan bimiktsoa. And then he cut them with a blade. Vahush this miktsoa, vahushem klihasu lakach. That's the name of this cutting implement that they used to separate the figs after they've dried. Vahotchen bo uktse hata'inim. They use it to cut off the stems of the figs. Viacharkach dorsin osam bikli agul. And then after that, they would press them with a circular implement of some kind of a disc is what they're pressing down on top of the figs. Ve'enid bakin yachad, and they all stick together. Ve'nasin kegvina, they become like cheese, in the sense that there's a solid material. Ve'unikra igule devela, that's what is called igule devela, circles of figs. Ukshevoy lemochra, and then when they want to sell them, afridan b'magrefa, they separate them with a magrefa, which is a kind of a shovel. You may remember it from the Beis Hamikdash, it's a kli that's used to take the ashes. And they also used it to make a very loud noise at one point of the avoda. Umochon b'mishkal litra, and they sell it by the weight of a liter. So liter is actually a weight measure, not a volume measure for them. Today we use it as a volume measure. So there is going to be a view expressed regarding a liter of these pressed figs. What in the world are we talking about? So the answer is, it's going to be a machlokes tanoim about a machlokes tanoim. That's what we're going to be dealing with. Meaning, it's going to be a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda as to what Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua said. There was an earlier debate between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua, and Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda disagree about the positions that were stated. If that sounds a little confusing, that's why I made a table on the sheet to try to help out. It actually isn't as bad as it sounds once you've had a beard. No, it isn't as confusing as it sounds once you've been through it once. Take a look at the Gemara. Four lines up from the bottom. Hai Tana, Tana Delitra Kitsiosu. The author who said that the egg is not batel is the same as the Tana in this issue of Litra Kitzios, and it's a particular one, as we'll see. The Amar called Davar Shebeminyan Apilu Bidirabbanan Lo Batel. This Tana is of the view that something which is ever counted is not nullifiable, even if the Isser involves the Dirabbanan. For Kolshkin B'Delraisa, and certainly if it's a Delraisa, where did this come in? Disnan, here's the Mishnah. And it's actually, I should say, Disanya, because it's really a Braisa. Litra Kitsios, Shadarsa al pi igul. If you have this liter of pressed figs, which are tevel, the Gemara doesn't tell you that, it assumes you know. This is tevel, untithed produce. And it was pressed with this disc. Ve'eno yodea be'eze igul derasa. And you don't know which disc you pressed it with. You don't know. In other words, you have a whole bunch of these discs of pressed figs, and you don't know which one was the tevel one. Al pi chavis, it was done on top of a barrel. Ve'eno yodea be'eza chavis derasa, and you don't know which barrel it was that this was that these were on. Al pi kaveres, on top of a hive-shaped item. Kaveres, the term we use for a beehive. Here it isn't literally a beehive, but the point is something shaped like that, like a sort of cylinder. Ve'eno yodea be'eza kaveres derasa, and you don't know which cylinder has the tevel. So now what happens? Rabbi Meir Omer. Well, let me just, I'm going to put the problem to you, because it may help this way. The problem is that I have here an entire barrel of layers of these pressed figs, and then I have a whole bunch of barrels. So it's, somewhere in all these barrels, there is an upper layer of figs that is tevel. So there are three ways that I can look at this, right? One way I can look at it is each layer of figs is unique. And therefore, there's no nullification possible. Not within its barrel, and not within all the barrels together. That's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is say, no, the barrels themselves are a unit. And therefore, if there is a significant enough ratio within each barrel, opposite the top layer of the barrel, then no matter where the tevel is, it's okay, it's nullified inside its barrel. You follow? Not getting it. Imagine this is the barrel. Okay, you've got layers of figs here, right? I know that in one of the barrels, the top layer is actually tevel. Can it be nullified in this barrel? If this barrel is with a bunch of barrels, can we say that even if within this barrel it's not nullified, I can count all the barrels together opposite the top layer that's in one of them, in an unknown barrel among them?
That you can never. Sealed barrel.
So that's part of our question. All of this is part of our question. First question is, do I say that this can be batel at all? Maybe I should argue that since it's a top layer, and each layer is significant, it's not even batel inside its own barrel. Right? That's one possible argument. A second possible argument, though, is even if you're going to tell me that barrels are significant and they can't be nullified, maybe the individual layer of figs inside, maybe that's a nullifiable thing. Or maybe not. There are all sorts of different ways that you can look at this in terms of what you can and can't do, and that's where this machlokas comes into play.
It's within the barrel, between the barrels.
Within the barrel and between the barrels.
And also whether it's unique or not.
Correct. Yeah. And that's one way to spell it out. Watch what happens. Rabbi Meir gives us the first shot. Rabbi Meir Omer. Right? Rabbi Meir says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, that Rabbi Eliezer says, Rohan Esha Elyonos, Ki'iluhain Prudos. He says, we see the upper layer within the barrels as though it was separate. Okay? As though it was separate from the rest of the barrel. V'hatachtonos malos es ha'alyonos. And the lower ones will be ma'aleh, which means to be mevata, really, the upper ones within the barrel. Let me use Rashi here, because Rashi will clarify. The top Rashi on the page. Ro and Osan, remember that we're dealing with, I had said tevel, but I wonder if I'm actually dealing with truma, because Rashi's going to talk about mea here, and that... I think even though I said tevel before, I'm going to correct it and say it's truma. It doesn't make sense to say that it's tevel. Okay. The im ein kan, Rashi says, im ein kan mea pumin shel heter. If you don't have 100 tops, meaning 100 barrels, right, with that are permitted, shehei b'hen k'dei lahalos pi ha'isur be'achar umea, such that you could say that the Isser is 1 in 101, if you don't have that, pretending you can do barrels altogether as you can nullify barrels at all. Roen ki'ilu litros shall call hapumin, prudos me'al hapumin. So I look at it as though the liter that's at the top of each barrel is separate from the barrel, umi'uravos b'shel shulayim, and mixed in with the bottom of the barrel. And we don't mean literally the bottom, but the point is the rest of the barrel. I'm going to view it as though the top layer is mixed in with the rest of the contents of the barrel. V'nimtzu kulam b'safek ha'dimua. And therefore, every fig that's sitting in here is going to be potentially mixed in with truma. Right? Not potentially, it is mixed in with truma. Umitztarfos ha-tachtonos, and the bottom figs will combine lahalos es litra shal piha to be mevatel the figs that are on the top. Dehoilu trumas peros dirabanan mekilim baha'ala asam. Because truma for fruit in general is a dirabanan, fruit truma on fruit of the trees is a dirabanan, so therefore we are lenient as far as its nullification. So what Rashi is telling you is that the view that Rabbi Meir puts in the mouth of Rabbi Eliezer is that the upper figs within this barrel can be nullified by the rest of the figs within the barrel. Is that clear?
The only problem I have is the positioning of it, but you know where it is. I mean, it's not like it's been... I can see that argument making sense if you look at the 100 barrel, but I can't see it making sense within the barrel.
Because
you know the location.
You're right, and yet.
You're right for certain items, not necessarily for truma. Isn't that the way truma...
That what?
Truma works that way, no?
That what?
It doesn't matter. The way truma works is that when it's together, it doesn't matter if you know it's on the top or in the middle.
So I don't know if that's
from the bottom. I thought that's the way it works. Because isn't there ways to cause truma to be mevatel sometimes? And there's
so truma, I'm not sure this particular rule is a function of truma. But it's true that what we're saying here is, even though you know full well that wherever there is truma, whichever barrel has it, it's on top, nonetheless, we view it as being a separate item from the rest of the thing. So I don't view the whole thing as truma, and mixed in with it, so that it could actually be nullified in the barrel. If you take a look at the chart that I gave you, it's the top left corner. Rabbi Meir, his explanation of Rabbi Eliezer, he says the tops of all the barrels are considered mixed together. So if I had 100 barrels, 101 barrels, I could nullify it that way.
That's horizontal. Thinking. That makes sense because you're looking at it as an entirety.
Yeah.
The horizontal unit itself, that can't make any sense.
Okay, but that's Rabbi Meir's view of Rabbi Eliezer. I understand what you're saying, but that's his view. That's Rabbi Meir's view of what Rabbi Eliezer says. And then he continues to say in Rabbi Yoshua, who disagrees with Rabbi Meir, says no. He said, Rabbi Yoshua Omer, im yesha mea pumen yalu. If you have 100 barrels of heter, right, and there's one of Isser, then you're right, it could be nullified. Vim lav, but if you don't, ha pumen asurin vashulayim mutaran. Like Laser is saying. Right? Then the tops are all going to be usser, because you don't have enough in the tops to nullify it. And the rest of the barrels, each barrel, I can just take the bottom portions, because I know that's not truma. That's Rabbi Meir voicing Rabbi Yeshua's view. The tops are considered mixed together, but the top and the bottom are entirely separate. Okay. That's all Rabbi Meir's
so
take.
Rabbi Yeshua says, according to him, even if you have, let's say, 101 barrels and they're all on the tops, it would not be nullified, right?
Rabbi Meir is speaking for
Rabbi Yeshua.
No, Rabbi Meir says that both of them would agree that if you have 101 barrels,
okay,
it's batel.
Batel. That's all. Okay.
Yes,
that's
we're good with horizontal bittel, and the machlokas is about vertical bittel. That's exactly right.
Okay.
Rabbi Yeshua Omer. Im yesha mea puminyalu. Vim lav hapumen asurin vashulayim mutarin. Rabbi Yoshua says no. He says that actually the that was Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yehuda, I was up to. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Im yesha mea puminyalu. He says Rabbi Eliezer says that if you have 101 barrels, right, 100 good ones, one bad one, then the bittel takes place. Vim lav, and if not, hapumen asurin vashulayim mutarin, all the tops are asur and the bottoms are fine. In other words, what you said, Rabbi Yeshua said, Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Eliezer says. Then what's left for Rabbi Yeshua, according to Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yeshua Omer, afilu yesh sham shlosh meos pumen lo yalu. He says, I don't care if you have 300 tops to your barrels. Pick a number, any number, it doesn't make a difference. There's no such thing as bittel here because barrels don't work that way, because each barrel is unique. So therefore, he says, no bittul is ever happening. So what's going on, really, when you think about it, and I think this is a good way to envision it, is that you have three possible positions. One position says it's bittul every which way. You could be mevatel in the rest of the barrel vertically. You could be mevatel across the barrels horizontally. Whatever you like. That's the most lenient of views. And that's the position that Rabbi Meir says Rabbi Eliezer takes. Then you have the intermediate position, which says bittul is possible across the barrels, just not vertically within the barrels. And that, Rabbi Meir said Rabbi Yeshua says it, Rabbi Yehuda said Rabbi Eliezer says it. And then you have the most strict view, which says, no, there's no such thing as bittul here. You can't do bittul across barrels, and you can't do bittul within that barrel either. No such thing as bittul in this situation. And Rabbi Yehuda says that's Rabbi Yeshua's position. Got it? Rabbi Yeshua will always be more strict than Rabbi Eliezer. So to look at it a little bit differently, if you have your positions 1, 2, and 3, 1 being the most lenient, and 3 being the most strict, so either it's a machlokas between 1 and 2, or it's a machlokas between 2 and 3. According to Rabbi Meir, it's a machlokas between 1 and 2. Rabbi Eliezer is a 1, very lenient. Rabbi Yeshua is intermediate. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eliezer is intermediate, and Rabbi Yeshua is the strictest level. You follow? That's the idea. All of this is about this poor egg, which has gone bad waiting for all this. But but first we have to finish the brisa with these figs. Darsa the eagle, the eno yodea the ezo eagle darsa, divrei kol yalu. We say that if they pressed the figs and they don't know in which disc they pressed them, everybody agrees they're going to be batel. That's the ending line that we've got here. To which the Gemara says, what are you talking about? That just flew in the face of everything we just said. Divrei Akol, everybody agrees. Haidu plutaya, where have you been? That's the whole machlokas. So Amar of Papa, Rav Papa says, no. Hachi ki Amar, this is what we're saying. Darsa be'igul ve'eno yodea be'ezim mekom igul darsa ilitzpona ilidroma. If he pressed the truma figs in the disc and he doesn't remember where within the disc, was it the north side, was it the south side, he doesn't remember at all where they are, then Dibriya Kol Yalu, everybody agrees they could be batel, because now I don't have a unique, distinct part of the barrel that it's in. I don't know if it's on the top of the barrel anymore. I don't know where in the barrel it is. Even within the disc, I don't know where it is. It's not a whole, you know, disc where I can identify and say the top disc in one of these barrels is Truma. But the point is, the point for us is that I wanted to find somebody who would say that the egg is davar chashuv, right? That the egg is significant and therefore not going to be nullified, even though it's from a treifa rather than a davar sheyesh lamatirin, right? I wanted someone to say the egg is important.
Why would this be theoretical? I'm sorry. According to the most machmir, where nothing is permissible, why would this not be part of the nothing permissible?
Because
Rabbi
now,
according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda,
right, yeah. Right, because Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, but it's because now it's no longer a disc that stands alone and some part of the barrel. Now it's even within the disc. I don't know where the truma is. If you take a look at Rashi, which Rashi was it? Hachi ki Amar Darsa v'Socha Eagle. It's right across from Ravashi in the Gemara. Halikamar, Darsa Basocha Eagle, the Ashav Eina Nikaros. Now they're entirely unrecognizable. Shari Medubakos, because they're all stuck together. Veina Yudea Hechan, he has no idea where it is. Imbitzfono Shal Eagle, is it the north part of the disc? Obidromo, the south part of the disc? Ha'ovahashtal Lav Bas Minyan, he. Now it's not even something you could count. Everything is all pressed together. It's individual figs within this mix. Velominkara, and it's not recognizable. Divrei Kol Yalu. Then everybody will agree that it can be batel. But the key point that he brings from this is, I wanted to say the egg was chashuv. If you take the view that anything that's ever sold by number is chashuv, then you're fine. But if you take the view that anything that is exclusively sold by number is not batel, then I'm still stuck on my eggs. But if I can say here that we're talking about Rabbi Yeshua within the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who indeed is strict in general regarding these barrels, maybe he will tell me that the egg is also of such strict status, and therefore the egg is not batel. That's their idea. So that's how I can say the egg is from a suffix trefa, Again, our whole point was to try to figure out this machlokes beis hillel beis shammai, right? We quoted this whole thing in which you said the egg is the suffek egg is aser, that indicated it was a d'oraisa. Does that mean we paskin like Rava? No, we're not paskin like Rava. Rather, it's a trefa. Well, if it's a trefa, not a yom tov egg, but a trefa egg, why isn't it batal? The answer is because it's davar chashuv, because it's important. But the egg isn't something that's only counted. Yeah, but we have this really strict view of how bittul works from Rabbi Yeshua, as understood by Rabbi Yehuda, and he'll say that the egg is never going to be batal. That's his answer. We have three more lines to get to the conclusion of this point. Rav Ashi gives me an entirely different answer. Rav Ashi says, Rav Ashi Amar, La'olam safek yom tov safek chol havi davar shiyesh lo matirin. He says the answer is that he says it's an egg that indeed was from Yom Tov, okay, or may have been from Yom Tov, as the case may be, and that's what's going on. It's it's davar shiyesh lo matirin. And since it's a davar shiyesh lo matirin, it will not be nullified.
You know, if you go back to the first part of the Mishnah, it says Beitzah Shenolda B'Yom Tov. If it's a trefa issue, Yom Tov would have been irrelevant.
Correct, and their point is that it's not. This price of the recording wasn't.
But these make sense. But this whole, almost like a wild goose chase. Where did trefa even come from?
Right, it had nothing to do with Yom Tov. That's exactly the point. In other words, this brisa, which we started with the Mace Van Himmel and Base.
I'm talking about the brisa.
Yeah, not only
brisa. No, exactly. But to go off on this whole track of it, maybe the reason wasn't Hachana, it was because it's trefa. Yeah.
Oh, no. That's where I misstated. Let me make sure that I'm clear. The Mishnah, the Mekama Omri, the Mishnah is as it is. This brisa that we quoted here that said that the egg is, number one, a safek egg is usur, and that if it's mixed in, it isn't batal. That's the one that they've been talking about, a trefa. Not our original Mishnah. Our original Mishnah remains as is. But what he's saying is that this brisa on Gimel Amud Beis was talking about a trefa. That was the idea. But now we have a problem, because if it's talking about a trefa, then why isn't it batal? Because it's chashuv. But Rav Ashi says, you don't need this whole thing. This is all a wild goose chase, because Rav Ashi is willing to rewrite the brisa. And the way Rav Ashi reads the brisa is that the opening part of the brisa, if you look back on Gimel Amud Beis, was very clearly a Yom Tov discussion. Right? An egg laid on Shabbos, an egg laid on Yom Tov, it was Yom Tov. Then he says the Sfeika Asura line was about Trefa. And then the last line, this Arva Be'elav Kulan Asuros, was back to Yom Tov again. Rav Ashi says that what this brisa did is it broke the rules for the way, you know, Mishnayos and Brises are supposed to work, which is that you should have one coherent theme all the way through. We don't like giving answers like this. But I think Rav Ashi is driven to this by the fact that we also don't like saying the Brisa is following this one unique view of Rabbi Yeshua within the view of within Rabbi Yehuda's explanation, or saying that it's taking the view of Kol Shadar Kalimanos instead of Esther Dar Kalimanos. We would rather have a Brisa that the world agrees with, even if we have to assume then that the cases are a little bit odd, because we took a detour in the middle of the brisa to talk trefa, and then we came back to talking Yom Tov. We don't like that, but that's why this is a brisa. Right? Remember the fundamental rule. How does a brisa become a brisa instead of being a Mishnah? Either because Rebbe didn't have access to it, or because there was some question about its authenticity, right, in terms of how it had been transmitted, or if there's a question about whether it's correct, if it flies in the face of something else we know. But in this case, the answer is this wasn't necessarily transmitted all that well. And you could have ended up with a brisa that actually put together a line about trefa in the middle of a discussion about Yom Tov. That's the way that he looks at it.
But going back to the first Rashi in the Omri, it seems that Rashi, and from the Lashon, is that this concept of ma'alos is not necessarily what we would use if instead of figs that were truma and non-truma versus, say, meat that you decided to press this way, burgers that you decided to press this day, one burger made out of ham and the rest made out of something else. Because at the end of the Rashi, he says, the hoyle of trumas pairs the rabbanon makilin bahalos.
Correct. The fact that it's the rabbanon is going to help.
Is makil bahalosan. But right. Not every mixture that may look like these figs that aren't a question of Truma de Rabbanan would have the same same category. That's what it seems from the Rashi.
Correct. No, that is correct.
Which is interesting because we're trying to bring a raya from here into a case where it's either where it's an egg, which would be a deraisa.
Depending on your case.
Depending on trefa or...
Yeah, and Yom Tov and what your reason and what your reason is regarding Yom Tov.
Right, but at the end of the day, if our proof was only Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of Yeshua, then they might matter because he was taking the most machmer view, and it seems like to him he was not makeling what is malos anyway, right?
Correct. No, that's true. He would not be making.
He's not holding from the malos concept is only.
But you're right.
It would be other parts of the grid because in the last part of the grid there is no malos at all.
Correct. No, that's correct. It's a good point. Okay, I have to race out. My daughter is babysitting, and she's got to get to sleep. But
they're off to school.
We'll take off now.